We saw in an article the other day that one of the favorite ways to put off something that you should do but you don't really want to is baking. Apparently, whipping up some cookie dough or getting a cake into the oven is popular with everyone from college students to CEOs. There's even a name for it, apparently, procrastibaking. Baking is just one way to procrastinate. You probably have some variations of your own, but why do we do it? And is it necessarily bad to put things off? We asked Regan Gurung to tackle the issue. He's the Ben J. and Joyce Rosenberg Professor of Human Development and Psychology at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. He joins us now from our Green Bay studios. Regan, good to have you back.
Thanks, Rob.
Well, before we get into the why, do you procrastinate yourself, Regan?
Absolutely. I think humans in general procrastinate sometimes or the other, and I think the question is when and can you shut it off?
And I do too, and it's very good. I intentionally went into a line of work where I have a very solid deadline that gives me no choice but to get things done. But why is it that we do it, Regan? We know that thing, getting the taxes done, writing that letter, getting the job done, cleaning up, whatever, has to happen. Why don't we just do it?
I think at the most basic level, we tend to procrastinate over things that we don't really want to do or are stressful. And just the thought of doing it makes us nervous or anxious, and especially anxious. And sometimes if something is boring, you just don't want to do it. And so it's much easier to distract ourselves and do something else. You know, oh, I think I need to clean my closet again or rearrange the books. That's one of my favorites is I think I want to rearrange the books I have. Instead of actually getting on with the task. And I think that's one of the most basic reasons that we tend to procrastinate is it's avoiding something that we just don't want to do.
And there's that technique there. There's this other thing that I can do, and I'm still being productive and accomplishy. I'm just not doing the thing I should be doing. So that whether we're talking about procrastinating or rearranging those books, we have a method to our procrastination madness.
You know, absolutely. And I think you mentioned how you can choose a job where it makes procrastination harder. I think there's also a really interesting personality difference here. I think some of us tend to be more conscientious than others. Some of us tend to be more comfortable with procrastinating and are much more comfortable with, you know, coming up to a deadline. And we actually savor that little, ooh, I love the stress of, you know, grace under pressure, as it were.
Talking to Regan Gurung from UW Green Bay about procrastination. Regan, you wrote about this on your blog, and you say procrastination can actually be a good thing if we do it right. Can you talk us through the wrong ways and the right ways?
Absolutely. I think the big distinction that I like to make is, or when I think about this, is there's procrastination before you actually start doing something, and procrastination in between a task. And especially the article that you alluded to on procrastibaking, more often than not, the examples in that article were individuals who started on a task and then took a break from the task to bake or, you know, do and then went back to the task. That's very, very different. It's very different if you don't start compared to actually starting, maybe hitting a wall or being tired off it and taking a break to do something and then coming back. So I call the latter productive procrastinating, where it's still procrastination. I mean, you know, which by definition is delaying of a task. I mean, you are delaying getting the task done, but there are definitely times when that delay can be more helpful than not.
Yeah, what do we get while we're doing that other thing? If we've already started, it's a delay, it's not postponing the whole project, we have it in our brains, then what can happen that's going to help us?
So there are a couple of different things going on. You know, one of the big elements of how we as human beings behave and work and function is that there's a lot of stuff going on in our heads underneath our conscious awareness. And when we start a task, even if we then switch, procrastinate, and go do something different, at a non-conscious level, we are still probably working on that task. So much so that when you come back to that something that you put off, but you started, you may actually find that you're further along than you were when you left it because your brain has been non-consciously working on it. So there's definite evidence of this non-conscious processing when you step away from something on one hand. On the other hand, there's also a form of consolidation. For example, we now know that if you have a choice of either staying up late and studying for something and then going to bed, or waking up early and then studying for something, it's much better to stay up late and finish studying. Why? Because when we sleep, our brains consolidate the information. There's actually strengthening of those neuronal pathways. And so whatever you've studied or read just before you go to sleep actually gets consolidated in memory while we sleep. And I think there's something like that happening when we take a break from a task once we've started it.
It seems like there's a trend, Regan, in guests I've talked to, including you, and books I've read. We used to think, okay, how can I get this single-minded focus on what I'm doing, whether that's studying or writing the business plan or whatever task it is? That we used to think was the gold standard, and now, at least in pop culture, and now it seems like, no, the value is, how do we creatively disrupt, interrupt that a little bit, step away so we come back with that flash of insight and refreshed afterward?
Yeah, and I think it's not so much the disrupt, but it's actually help out our brains, because I think we human beings can only be focused on something for a certain amount of time. Now, I think that amount of time is actually longer than we assume, you know, and when you see people quickly checking email or Facebook or Twitter, that's not just because we have short attention spans. I think that's something we can work on. But especially when you're working on a focused task for work or for school or at home, there's only so far we can go before we need a break. And I think it's not so much disrupting it, but actually giving our brains the break away from it that can help it.
That reminds me, something you wrote, you say there are good ways to procrastinate. So when we've already started that project, baking could be one of them. One bad way is to just surf around on the internet. Why is that a bad way to procrastinate?
I think one of the biggest reasons that surfing on the net is a bad way is, firstly, it's almost like going down the rabbit hole where it is very easy to lose track of what's going on and time. But I think more importantly, if you're surfing, you're actually probably using more of those mental resources and not really giving your brain that time to reflect on the task that you've been doing. So, for example, you know, I like the example of Darwin or Thoreau, who spent time going on walks. Apparently, the story goes that Darwin worked about 4 hours a day of intense work, but then went for a walk. No, you know, did he take notes? Was he jotting things down? Maybe he was. But for the most part, he gave his brain some time to reflect and sort things through. And I think that's one of the big things that in our modern society with all our devices, we don't get enough of. That time of, in quotes, nothing, where our brain can sift and winnow through all the things that it's doing and needs to do. And when you're surfing on the internet, well, there's no sifting, winnowing time because, you know, you're falling for clickbait.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Anne is with us in Green Bay. Anne, hi.
Hello. Well, I've turned 62 recently. I'm planning on retiring at the end of the year. Realize my life is getting shorter, so I don't call it procrastinating anymore. I call it retirement training.
So do you have a method to your procrastination / retirement training, Anne?
Yep. Fun comes before cleaning, though.
Fun comes before cleaning. I love it. Well, and then, Regan, that's a value judgment there, too. Yeah, sometimes there's the stuff we've got to do, but sometimes the cleaning could wait another day, and we could do something more fulfilling in the meantime.
Well, I think Anne nicely puts her finger on a really key word, which is prioritization. You know, and sometimes I think at different points of our lives, we prioritize things differently. And there are some things that are filed under the work category that may not need to be done right then. And it may be okay to put them off for later. And I love the way Anne said, you know, fun comes before cleaning. Absolutely. And I think in the big scheme of things, we've got to balance the big picture of what's due when and how much intrinsic value it has to us.
We're talking to Regan Gurung about procrastination and when it can be actually an okay strategy, if we do it right. He's a professor of human development and psychology at UW Green Bay, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you describe yourself as a procrastinator? Are there particular tasks in your life that you just keep putting off and putting off? What is your favorite diversion from what you know you should be doing? Do you think it actually is helpful sometimes, as Regan was saying, to take that break in the middle of the thing you've been focusing on, do something completely different, come back to it, maybe with a fresh eye? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We pick up our conversation about procrastination with Regan Gurung from UW Green Bay, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you find yourself procrastinating, or did you used to, but you found a way to rein that in? Are you in a relationship where you have one procrastinator, one not? How do you work that out? Call in at 800-642-1234. And do you think that procrastination can be a good thing? Call in 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll go back to our callers now. Mitch is on the line in Chilton. Mitch, hi.
Hey there.
What do you want to tell us about, Mitch?
Well, I had a question about procrastination. There's some things I've been putting off for years in my life, and I always tell myself, well, I'll really get to it. But it's been years, like finishing a play or a script or maybe making a call to a relative that I haven't made in a while. I guess that's procrastination. I'm wondering if you have any tips for how to deal with those things that they seem to grow in their monstrosity the longer I put them off.
Mitch, thanks a lot for that call. And at first, I was like, years, really? And then I think, yeah, there's, you know, old friends that I think, oh, I should call or write someday, and I don't do it today, and I don't do it next week. I'm probably in the same boat. And Regan, it sounds like these are things Mitch wants to do. He wants to finish that play. He wants to talk to that relative. Why do we procrastinate in that way?
Well, I think this goes back to us avoiding or delaying things that we fear may not be easy to do. I mean, especially writing a play, that sounds like quite the challenge, right? And I think this is a great case of, in terms of what's a good way or something new to try, this is where I like to think about this suggestion. Actually, it's a 100-year-old plus suggestion, but it was recently brought back up. William James, the father of American psychology, basically said, if we want to try to do something that we've been avoiding doing, we should do it for a short period of time and pretend as if we like doing it. And I think those two words, do it or as if, is the key. More recent research has shown that if you've been putting something off, tell yourself, I'm going to do it for just 10 or 15 minutes, but I'm going to do it as if I really enjoy it. And lo and behold, what research shows is that if you go into doing it with that attitude, the pretending almost that you like it, it frees you up to actually like it. And more often than not, you find yourself continuing with that activity.
So in Mitch's case, he could say, hey, I'm going to get this opening to act two. Maybe it's not going to be perfect, but I'm going to have fun putting it together.
Absolutely. Give it a shot as if it's a lot of fun, and you may actually find that it is.
Mitch, good luck. Look forward to the big opening when it hits Broadway. Back to your calls. Ryan is with us in Menominee. Ryan, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What'd you want to tell us about?
So me being a college student, I figure procrastination is one of the best ways to help get you through long periods of studying, because sitting down and just grinding for hours and hours at a time just seems super inefficient. So you kind of just go for it a little bit, and then you can like just procrastinate, and it just helps you keep your mind so much more sharper.
And Ryan, what do you do in those breaks, I guess, to step away from the grind?
I hang out with friends, I go to the movies, I play some video games. It's just anything that can get me away from what I'm doing. Just go have some fun. Give your mind a break.
Now, this isn't the night right before the exam where you're doing all that stuff, right? You're spacing that out.
Oh, yeah, I'm totally spacing it out.
All right. Ryan, thanks a lot for the call. And, yeah, Regan, I think we've probably all been there, especially if we've been studying. You hit that point of diminishing returns where
right.
You can stare at that book for another 5 hours. You're not going to get anything more out of it.
Well, I think, and Ryan, I'm guessing from what he said that he takes a break, but then he goes back
right.
to doing what he was
That's
doing.
That's the key, yeah.
Right, exactly.
Ryan, thanks a lot for sharing that with us. Can we schedule this kind of thing, Regan, when we're in that grind where we can say, okay, I'm going to set an alarm on my phone to tell me to step away and do something fun and different?
Absolutely. That's one of the suggested pragmatic ways to deal with you helping you even get started. So let's say you're procrastinating getting started on something. start it as if you're going to like it, and then tell yourself, I'm only going to do this for X amount of time, and I will stop and give myself a treat or do something different at that time. So you're not shackled to doing it. You've already got that milestone that you can look forward to. And what's interesting is when studies have tried to vary how much that time is, there are many cases when the time is reached and the person goes, you know, I'm actually really enjoying this. I don't want to stop now, you know, and that's great. So I think building yourself that reinforcement, or, you know, rewarding yourself for some good work is definitely an incentive that can keep you going and ensure that you're less likely to procrastinate on getting actually started in the first place.
Ryan, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking to Regan Gurung, psychology professor at UW Green Bay, about procrastination, a how-to, and how to do it effectively and ineffectively, for that matter. Back to your calls. Dave is with us in La Crosse. Dave, hi.
Hi. I just want to partly disagree with the lady that said cleaning can wait, because it depends on what kind of cleaning. Floors and windows and that sort of thing can wait. But I've got a 30-year accumulation of papers and financial accounts and stuff that I haven't, you know, I've cleaned, I've worked on them a little bit, but now I've got boxes and boxes of stuff that I don't even recognize anymore. And I spent like a year getting rid of half of them, just because they don't make any sense anymore, and I've got to call banks and figure out what all this stuff was and whether it still exists. So try to get some of it, trash out of the way if you can before you forget what it is.
Dave, thanks a lot. Yeah, sort of that, I guess it's a triage process, Regan, trying to figure out what we can put off and what we can't.
Well, and I think beyond that, it's also the notion of don't look at the entire task as a whole. Break it down into smaller pieces. So maybe Dave can look at one box instead of the five boxes and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to start on this one box. And just the sense of accomplishment that Dave would get from that one box would probably go a long way and make it more likely that he'll come back to boxes 3 to 5 or 3 to 10 later.
Dave, thanks a lot for that call. Yeah, I've done that sort of thing with, I could go down and say, okay, I'm going to clean the basement, and that's such a monumental task. Where do you start? I'm going to clean out this corner of the basement. That's something I might actually get done, and as you say, start to build that momentum.
Absolutely.
I will say my basement is still not clean, though. So, Regan, what about, I mean, there's some people out there who know, hey, I have a problem with procrastination. It actually interferes with my life. I put things off too long, and it bites me later on. What can they do?
Well, I think when you say, I think the recognizing the problem and don't wait until you get, called into your boss or a feeling great to recognize the problem. I think if you see this consistent pattern, I think start small. Start small, earlier on, I think it was Mitch who mentioned a whole list of things that he'd like to do. Have a clear list someplace. I mean, something I do is if there's a bunch of things that I know I should get moving on, I literally on my calendar have a bunch of little post-its of things that I may not have time or want to do right now, but I know I should do. And I look up at every now and then I look up at that calendar and pull down one of those little post-its and tackle it. It's one little thing, but it's not out of sight, so it doesn't get lost. So I think the key solution here is divide things up into smaller, more manageable packets and reward yourself for getting those things done. But starting small, once you start on these things, it'll be reinforcing in itself and it'll help you do more of these things down the line.
My problem sometimes with the to-do list is, you know, big thing that I really want to put off, little thing that's easy, and five more of those. And I knock off those fun, easy things, and still that big thing's still staring at me.
You know, that's why you need different colored post-its, where you can only tackle one color at a time.
This is a green day. This is a red
day.
Okay,
exactly.
One more caller I think we have time for. Bill is with us in Westfield. Bill, hi.
Hello there.
Hey, Bill.
What do you want to tell us about, Bill?
Well, I want to talk to you about procrastination. It's been a big problem with me. I've bought trailers and haven't registered in my name. I've just used them until I wanted to sell them, and what a time I had trying to get them together.
Oh.
But anyway, the main thing I wanted to say was I read a book, and I hope I can say it over the air. It's a book. The name of it was Make Your Bed. It's a very small book. It was written by a retired Navy SEAL.
An admiral.
Retired Navy SEAL.
Bill, I'm going to jump in. Regan, you're familiar with this?
Yes. This was an admiral who, at a commencement speech, he shared the five things that he had learned from 25 years in the Navy. And one of those things was, the first thing in the morning, make your bed and the day will go better. Bill, is that the book?
Yes. But what he said was, if you do it first and you do it right and you know you did it right, you look back and you did a good job, every other thing you do during the day will work out for you.
Bill, thanks a lot for that call. And just in our last minute or so, Regan, whether it's making the bed or that other small thing, it seems like making that small step to get at what Bill was talking about, that great feeling, that's going to keep you going.
Better planning is at the heart of everything. Plan better. It takes things off of your mind, makes you easier to tackle things.
And Regan, do you have another bookshelf for your organization in the works?
I've already done that. So,
okay. Yeah. We'll leave it there. Regan, always good to talk to you.
Great. Thanks a lot, Rob.
That's Regan Gruing, professor of human development and psychology at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. He joined us from our studio in Green Bay to talk about procrastination and how we can use it to our advantage. You can find his blog post on the subject at the Ideas Network Facebook page or over at WPR.org. And if you were meaning to call that whole time and, well, you just kept putting it off and finding something else to do instead, not to worry. You can still share your thoughts on procrastination, how it's affected your life, maybe how you've gotten over it, how you break up that study session or work session, whatever it is you do. Let us know over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Tell us your procrastination story. Do it now or, later or tomorrow or next week, whatever. It all works. We'll watch for it on the Ideas Network Facebook page.